Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoof Hound Spotlight here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, and joining me as he does for every episode of Spoof Hound Spotlight is the Maryville R2 Superintendent, Logan Lightfoot. Logan, once again, thank you for joining me, and, you know, I guess we'll start out with the obvious. School's back in session. The 2023-24 school year is in full swing. So, you know, I guess tell us, what does that mean for students, staff, teachers, everyone in the district? What kind of changes are there this year?
Yeah, school back in session. We welcomed our staff back this week. In fact, they were back on Tuesday. We had our opening odes, which is our beginning of the year teacher meetings on Wednesday. So, Jeremy, a whole lot of excitement. You know, changes that you asked about, we do have some, and I'm really excited about those. In terms of leadership, we've got a new middle school principal, Kate Leiden, new middle school assistant principal, Shelley Green. And so it's been, putting my parent hat on, I've got a middle school student, so I got to go to open house. Just the overall vibe and climate in that building is just, it's exciting. You know, I mean, you've got teachers very excited to be there and just a very welcoming environment. I think they're going to do a great job this year. And it's going to be, I think kids are going to have a wonderful year at the middle school for sure. Elementary school, Maddie Dallas is our new assistant principal at the elementary school. And we think she's going to be able to do some great things with our kids and working with parents on getting parents in involvement with some of like our crosswalk duties and things like that, and expect great things out of her. We've got a lot of new teachers in the district too. So I think we welcomed a total of 18 new certified staff members this year, and anywhere from brand new teachers fresh out of college to teachers that have taught in other districts and wanted to make Maryville home. And just, you know, the common denominator in those, and one thing I like to do as a superintendent is, whenever we hire a new person, it's not in the interview process necessarily, but after they're hired, I like to sit down with them and just get to know them a little bit as a person and talk to them about our school district. And one thing I noticed with each of them, just the common denominator, and this is very cliche, but boy, is it true. They just got a love for kids. And you want to see that when you hire people. You know, you want to see that passion for just taking care of kids, and our teachers, our support staff, that's definitely there.
Yeah, I can't imagine you'd want to miss Trenchable, which for those out there, that's was that the principal in Matilda?
Miss Trenchable, I think you might be correct, yes.
But so I've waited all year. I wanted to ask it kind of last year, but, you know, first year and everything, I was like, I don't want it. But do you ever get the vibe that the teachers of your kids are on pins and needles?
I would like to hope not.
Okay.
We, you know, and I honestly, we talked to our, my wife and I, my wife's a teacher too. And I think that helps, you know, because she can provide a teacher perspective on things. And, we've got, you know, my son is very quiet, and, you know, we try to encourage him to come out of his shell a little bit, and that's been kind of neat. I'm going to brag on our middle school teachers a little bit. They have leader in me at the middle school, and you know, all of our parents listening right now, that they've sent kids through the middle school, can identify with this. You send your student to Maryville Middle School in the fifth grade, and you might have a very outgoing kid, you might have a very introverted kid, but either way, they're going to spend 4 years at that middle school learning very specific traits on what it means to be a great leader. And he spent, you know, 9 months and, you know, just learning about what it means to be a leader, what it means to have integrity. And, you know, I remember him coming home 2 months into the school year, and a kid that previously just really was pretty in his shell and shy, and talking about what Miss Klotz thinks about integrity and things like that. And just, I watched him last night at open house, go in to his grade level pod without me or his mom and walk into each classroom and introduce himself to all of his teachers. And, you know, that's part of the maturing process. But I also, Jeremy, think that's a testament and tribute to the teachers. You know, you've got people in those, in our buildings, and that's not just the middle school, it's every building, that's really concerned on the development of kids. And you can take a brand new shy kid that came from small town Nebraska and help that kid build self-confidence and help that student understand what it means to be a leader. And I speak volumes. So in a roundabout answer to your question, I would sure hope our teachers aren't in pins and needles with me.
Okay. Well, you know, I like I said, I didn't want to ask last year because I didn't want you to, you know, go in and be like, oh, I hope not. But no, I assume that, you know, there's definitely that kind of thought in the back of everyone's mind, like, oh, this is the Soups kid. But no, the other thing with the beginning of school is, you know, not to say that the summer months aren't jam-packed, but we also have the return of sports. You know, this year, of course, we have football. We'll be having those games here on KXCV. Karen W., Matt will be covering those. But it looks like there's a new face in volleyball, and it sounds like some of the people in town are going to recognize this name.
They sure will. I think people maybe around America will recognize this name. Alyssa Rezac. And Coach Rezac has come onto our volleyball program and just done a fantastic job with our girls. And for those of you that aren't Bearcat fans, Coach Rezac is a former All-American volleyball player for the Bearcats, and just as important, from the great state of Nebraska, Wahoo Newman graduate. And she has a great work ethic and is really started to, even her first months on the job, just instilling that work ethic in our girls. And we've got a young team. And, you know, when you have a young team, especially with volleyball, you're going to come up against teams that have older, more experienced girls, and you might take your lumps a little bit, but I've got a great feeling about that. It's the girls are going to take that in stride. It's going to be a learning process, and we're going to get a lot better this season. We're going to be very good. I mean, just in terms of being able to put out, being very competitive, you know, always giving our best in games and things like that. And then that's exuded from leadership and the coach. And so really excited to have her on, just a new, fresh face. And, yeah, excited to see what the girls are going to do and how she's going to lead them.
Okay. And, you know, I guess we all kind of expect great things from football this year, as, you know, we've kind of come to expect with the Spoofhound football team. But, you know, is there any other sports teams that you're looking forward to this fall? I mean, I know you're looking forward to all of them, but are there any you're just like, you know, this team, I expect great things this year?
Jeremy, I could go through every single one of them. And okay. I mean, we have just got the Maryville kid never ceases to amaze me. I mean, we've got great kids in all of our sports. You know, cross country, we've got runners coming back from last year that I think are going to do very well. We've got a boys soccer team that, I mean, they were right on the doorsteps of state, and they return a great core group of boys that they've been playing together since fifth grade Twisters that I think they're going to do very well. You look at tennis, you look at all of our sports, we really do. We're gonna put a lot of good competitive teams on the field. But, you know, overarching from that, and maybe just from a superintendent's point of view, what I like to see, we're that size of school district, and we're that type of community that we're able to encourage the whole student. You know, so you've got football players, you've got volleyball players, that we also encourage them to play in the band. We also encourage them to sing in our competition choirs. You know, and so when you've got a student like that, that can, by the time they graduate high school and they have 4 years of a well-rounded high school experience, they're going to go into that next phase in life having very tangible talents, but also being able to navigate things that maybe other young people don't. And so that, you know, one of the true, I think, gifts and one of the true things that puts Maryville High School above a lot of places that I know is you can produce that kind of experience for your students.
So sometimes it happens during this, I think of a question, and I feel like asking you because I feel like if I was to be asked this, I would answer yes, but I'm curious what you think because you have children, I don't, so there's definitely a difference in that view. But do you feel like over the past, you know, couple decades or however long it is, that the popularity of soccer is gradually increasing here in the U.S. and, you know, specifically in this area.
Yeah, so you probably didn't know this, but you're actually talking to a former high school soccer coach. So I'm a little biased on this, but I think it's exploded, frankly. If you look at Maryville and specifically, 2004 or 5 or so, when I was coaching soccer in Savannah, Maryville was a relatively new sport in Maryville as well. Gosh, I would urge you even to look at the last 5-6 years of Maryville boys and girls soccer and the teams that we have produced, the athletes that we have produced, and the next 5 or 6 years beyond this, the types of athletes and players that we're going to produce in the future. We have got some top tier talent around here. And number one, in general, in Missouri, soccer has grown in popularity immensely, but our programs have just exploded. We've got talented kids, and we've got dedicated kids as well. I mean, we've had to go through coaching changes and things like that in our the last 10 years in Maryville soccer history. But, you know, we've got the things that remain constant. If you've got kids that put a lot of off-season work in, and like I mentioned earlier, you'll have a core group of boys or girls that start playing together in the 5th grade, and they'll play together all those years, and it kind of crescendos their junior, senior year of high school. And that turns into a really good product on the field.
And I feel like, and like I said, if I was asked, I would say yes, but that's because I feel like when I was in high school, there was this, not a stigma, but just feeling that soccer was where the men who weren't good enough to play football played. And,
sure.
You know, I feel like that's changed in a lot of ways. And I don't know if that's because of the, I'm trying to think of the word. I can't right now, but I feel like it's because, you know, we had Sporting Kansas City, St. Louis now has an MLS soccer team, you have soccer facilities just popping up everywhere, the World Cup's coming to the U.S. in 3 years, and I feel like everything's just going towards soccer, like maybe the rest, or the U.S. catching up with the rest of the world in terms of soccer. And you know, as a person who is kind of a late bloomer as a fan of soccer, I think that's good. And I think, you know, it's also really great to see that happening in Maryville.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you walk the halls of Maryville High School in the fall, you know, you're going to see very good athletes wearing football jerseys, but you're going to see very good athletes that are wearing soccer jerseys as well. I mean, there's the difference between the two. I mean, you've got, you know, very good, dedicated, focused athletes in both sports. Absolutely.
All right. Well, not to completely switch gears, but Board of Education meeting this month, I know a little bit brief, especially since, you know, there were, you know, I mean, start of school, but, you know, go ahead and give us the highlights. I know that you guys touched on the long-term plan as well as several other issues.
Yeah, we did. Brief but important. So this month we... you know, in August, we set the tax rate and we approved the budget, which is 2 big ones for the district. Our tax rate this year, we're just about $5.03. And, you know, kind of what I share with our board is it's a very workable, very reasonable, and it provides us with the funds that we're going to need to put high quality programming in front of our kids. And it's also very responsible for our taxpayers. Kind of the way, if you look at our levy history, we're right in between. We're just about a penny below 21-22 and a penny above last year. So we're right in between there. Just with the way this is an odd year. And so we did, it was a reassessment year for real estate and property taxes. And so we grew in our school district about 3.8%. And so nothing crazy or anything like that. And we certainly want to be very responsible stewards of our taxpayer money. And we think we've got to go along with that, our budget. We feel like we've got a very good plan moving forward. At the end of this fiscal year, it looks like we'll be about $149,000 in the black. And so, you know, we don't want to be a bank or anything like that, but we also want to make sure that we expend as much of those funds as possible to go right into the classroom and right to things that will enhance safety in our schools and things like that. And we feel like we've got a good plan moving forward for this fiscal year.
And so I looked at the district calendar, and I saw that there was going to be a staff development day, I believe, Monday, September 18th. Don't quote me on that. I know it's September 18th. What is that?
Good question.
I
and I'm sure a lot of parents wonder that as well.
Yeah, is that the teacher showing up with their favorite movies and throwing them on the TV or something?
We do not do that.
Okay.
Really, we've got those scheduled throughout the year. And we really do, staff development has kind of evolved over the years, you know, and I think when I started my career in education, staff development day, no one ever watched movies, I don't think, but it was, you know, it might've been a little bit more loose. So, you know, you might show up and you might meet with a couple of teachers and that kind of thing, but you might be able to have some time to work in your room, those kinds of things. I can tell you, in Maryville, we really put, you know, we try to put every minute we have to really good use, because there's a lot to do in exactly what it means. It's staff development. We want to provide our certified staff with the highest level of development as possible. And so each one of our buildings has what's called a building improvement plan. And so those building improvement plans are built on very specific goals that will enhance the academic experience for kids. And so, you know, for example, I'm going to use Maryville Middle School. What they're working on this year, they're working on data teams. And so they're looking at very specific achievement data. So reading and math, and we're not talking about just state scores. I mean, we do some formative assessments throughout the year. And so we might give our kids a couple of really quick assessments that will give our teachers very valuable data. So what are our, you know, let's identify a couple of our kids that might be struggling. Some of them might be on the bubble. Some that are doing really well. And so how do we adjust our instruction? How do we utilize our staff best to really meet the needs of our kids? So we'll take those days and we'll group teachers up and we'll make sure that, hey, moving forward, this is how we're going to best serve our kids. Here's how we can adjust our schedule to that. At the high school, one of their main goals in their building improvement plan is they want to reduce the number of D's and F's in their classes. And so, and when you talk about high school credits, that's obviously a logical goal if you want to increase your graduation rates and your high school success rate. And so they're looking at what are ways they can, you know, challenge those that need to be challenged, but also those that are struggling. How can we do some interventions at the high school level to meet those kids' needs? At the elementary level, they're obviously, you know, reading and literacy has been a point of emphasis for the last couple of years. But this year, they're looking at a great character education program. So how can they really infuse and look at character education and putting those many lessons into everyday curriculum? A lot like the leader in me at the middle school. So maybe our kids in the next 2 or 3 years, we can build a really good foundational program. By the time a student gets in to elementary school, by the time they go all the way through our buildings, they've got a great leadership development curriculum or program that really teaches them how to be a well-rounded student. So I guess a long answer to your question, in an 8-hour professional development day, it is a very focused development on how we can best serve our kids.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess the thing I took away from that, and I'm not saying that's what this is completely all about, but it feels like a component of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is, you know, sometimes there's these ideas and, well, we won't know whether or not they're working or not until we start implementing them. And then, you know, once we're so far into the school, it's like, how can we go back and tweak those or improve them?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. I mean, we're adults are like kids. We're all about learning. I mean, we're all about, you know, we're going to make mistakes and that kind of thing. But the important thing with schools is let's frequently check back in with each other and let's frequently see what we can do to make the experience a little bit better. That's
okay.
For sure.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, not to say that, you know, it was a slow month. It definitely was not a slow month for anybody in the school district, especially with students coming back. But, you know, I guess those are really all the questions I have about, you know, the return of school and, you know, starting off the 2023-24 school year. Is there anything else you want to talk about or mention or something maybe I neglected to ask about?
No, just we're getting ready to launch phase one of our long-range facility plan. And I had a chance to talk to our staff about that Wednesday morning, and kind of show some potential conceptual drawings and things like that at our September Board of Education meeting. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe a timeline, what that might look like. And so when I join you next month, I'll kind of talk a little bit more in details on what that looks like over the next several months and how we're going to be able to engage our public a little bit more and maybe get some more ideas and input from our community. Because, Jeremy, we really do. We want to, when we, especially for this first phase of what we're looking at for our facilities, we want to make sure we provide the absolute best experience possible for Maryville kids, not only for this year, next year, but for the next 10, 20 years down the road. And we've got a great ability to do that. And we want to make sure we take advantage of that.
All right. Well, if that's it, we'll go ahead and move on to the second part of our show, which is the Better Know a Superintendent segment, where I ask you two random questions. And the first question I have is, I actually thought about this as we were recording, as sometimes happens. The second one, you know, I'll have pre-written down, not to spoil the illusion, but the first question, you know, when we were talking about soccer earlier, and I was like thinking, I'm like, man, there's been just so many, you know, sports is one of those really unifying, it's for a lot of people, it's, you know, I think back to this or moment or that moment, and it's, you know, so I guess my question is, you know, when you look at, you know, whether you participated, attended, watched, you know, what is one of your most cherished sports memory moments? And I feel like, you know, at different parts of my life, I could say different ones, but, you know, now at 35 and a half or however many months I have until I hit 36, I think about 2020, early 2020, before the entire world flipped upside down, at a bar with just a bunch of friends and other Chiefs fans, and we're watching the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs are down by 10 points in the fourth quarter, and we're all just like, it's just never going to happen, is it? And then just Patrick Mahomes, you know, becoming an ultimate, you know, forever legend in town, and just a flash of an instant, and us winning, and just like all these just strangers showering each other in beer and champagne and just like going nuts. And then, you know, driving back that night and thinking about the game and just seeing fireworks going off all along like I-29 back to Maryville. So that would be mine.
That's awesome. I love it. Gosh, I think, you know, I think I might have mentioned this on air at some point. I'm from Texas originally, and there was one summer through, like, basically kind of dumb luck, I got to be the bat boy for the Texas Rangers. And that was pretty incredible, especially for a young kid, meeting, like, you know, my idols. We were, which, by the way, the Texas Rangers at that time were just terrible. Like, they made the early 2000 Royals look like the Yankees. Like, they were rough. But
that's,
like,
that's,
I mean,
pretty,
they were
bad.
But they, I mean, Nolan Ryan was still pitching for them, and those. So it was awesome doing that as a kid. But, you know, I guess specifically, we moved to Nebraska when I was 10, and some of those summers going to the College World Series, and just, I'd go down with my dad and we'd sit in the old Rosenblatt Stadium in the general admission sections and, you know, catch two or three games and, like, go with my family. And I don't know, that would be a highlight for me for sure. Just the seats were great. And, you know, if you ever went to the old Rosenblatt Stadium, it was just an experience in and of itself. And we would always pick a team to cheer for, and just a lot of good memories of family and going down there.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, not to keep the topic going, but I think, you know, if the Chiefs didn't draft Mahomes and ended up drafting, like, Deshaun Watson or some other person who probably wouldn't go to a Super Bowl, I think then I'd have to default to attending one of the World Series games.
Oh, yes.
And there's just nothing like being in a sold-out stadium and just that collective energy and excitement that's happening.
I've got a funny story about that one, actually.
Oh. So,
not the World Series, but the year before when the Royals, when they went to the World Series but didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the playoff game with the A's?
Yeah.
Okay. I was a high school principal at the time, and I had scheduled a staff meeting. My pre-scheduled staff meetings. Well, I had my staff meetings at 6:30 in the morning. And I had a staff meeting scheduled for 6:30 in the morning after the wild card win against the A's. And we were halfway through the game, and I thought to myself, maybe I should cancel this. But then I was like, I don't know if everybody will get the message if I do cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just so happened that like half my staff went to the game. And the game we got to get over at whatever time it did, right?
Yeah, like, I want to say around midnight. And it was a long one.
Long one. And then getting out of the parking lot and things like that. So I show up at 6:30 in the morning for the staff meeting. I don't know if I've ever had more adults in the room so quietly furious with me than it was that morning. But that I will always remember that. That's for sure.
That was around. So in a previous life, I used to produce a morning news show. And so I would. I think that night I'd woken up at like 7 p.m. or something so that I could watch the game. And it was one of those things where it was just a roller coaster of, oh, I made a mistake waking up for this. Why did I think the Royals were going to be different than the Royals that I've grown up with? And then it was like, you know, yeah, the game ended around midnight and it ended on that one hit. And I remember going into work, I'm like, I'm tired, but it was worth it. It was fun. And I had this coworker come in. And just, you know, 5-10 minutes, she was doing her thing. And all of a sudden I hear, what? Oh, my God. She just screams. She's like, they won? And I was like, yeah. She was like, I went to bed. I thought they just lost. I was like, I'm not going to lose sleep over watching them lose.
And in most cases, she would have been smart. But not that night.
Well, it's funny because at a certain point, you know, when I'm trying to remember the points of that game, but you know, I want to say whenever Yost brought in Ventura and just blew the A's just blew it wide open. I think it was like 8 or 9 p.m. or something, and I was like, well, I got to go into work in like 3-4 hours. I can't nap. I'm just gonna go to the gym and just, you know, get on treadmill or elliptical and watch the rest of the game. And it was funny, as the game went on at the gym, all these 20 people just kind of stopped exercising
and just going to the TV.
Yeah.
That's great.
But that really shows the magic of sports and, you know, why the community loves the Spoof Hounds.
You bet. Absolutely.
But the second question I guess I got, not to completely derail that, but what is your favorite fictional villain and hero? And I guess I'll start while you think about it. Fictional hero, I got to go with Batman. That's the original. I mean, you could still use it, but that's like the original one. I remember, you know, knowing him first. I grew up during the 90s, the animated Batman show. Not only was it like revolutionary in terms of superhero storytelling because it actually took it seriously, but if I remember correctly, the animation was groundbreaking because most animated shows are on white backgrounds. And instead of Batman, they use black backgrounds. And they filled it in with color. So that's why it just had that dark aesthetic. So it was a very influential show when it came down to me, like, you know, becoming a nerd. Like, I was like, this is amazing. Favorite villain? I feel like I could go with someone like the Joker or Magneto, but man, I still tell people my favorite villain of all time is Goldfinger from James Bond's nice. Goldfinger, for the simple fact that he might be fake, but he's the most realistic villain we've ever seen, because what's his plan? He just wants money. He wants to be rich. That's his whole evil plot. It's so realistic. And the fact that, you know, when he finally gets Bond and he has that laser pointed at him and the famous line of Bond saying, you know, what do you expect me to do, talk? And he goes, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Like, just a very realistic villain.
I like that. Good. Okay, so I have to go with Batman. Like, all-time favorite as a kid. Lived and died by Batman, for sure. Comic books, and that, you know, I was a kid when the first Batman came out, Michael Keaton, my favorite. And funny enough, I half joke with my principals that being a school administrator, you know, the old Batman line, you know, you either die the hero or live long enough to become a villain. I liken that to school leadership sometimes. So definitely Batman on that. My villain, I'm going to go with Skeletor.
Okay.
Yeah, He-Man. Absolutely. I dressed up as Skeletor when I was a kid for Halloween and had the old Skeletor mansion like as one of my toys when I was a kid. So
I think I know what you're talking about, because there was a show on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us, and they did a deep dive on He-Man, and I had no idea that they created the toys before they created the show.
Oh yeah. And they, so you had a the castle, and Skeletor had this very scary voice. And the, I mean, think about 1985 or whatever it was, and you'd pick up this microphone and your voice would get distorted to be Skeletor's voice, and thought that was pretty cool.
Huh. I've never watched it. I know of it just simply, I feel like just being proximity to nerd culture, I feel like I know, you know, He-Man. Well, I take that back. I did watch that, was it Dolph Lundgren? Who played He-Man?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Skeletor in that movie?
I don't know.
And I don't know if I can technically say I watched it, because I watched a screening of it where three comedians were in the front making fun of it during the movie. Because in a lot of ways, it is a very bad movie.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I feel like that's such... It's hard to do a live-action He-Man, I think, because it is just so... You have to, like, just put yourself in a completely different frame of reality.
That you do.
It's like I tell people, like a live-action Lion King. I feel like animated, you know you're in for a fantasy movie. Mm-hmm. They try and make it live-action, it's like, nah, it's just kind of weird now. But, okay, well, with all that being said, I guess... just simply ask again, anything else you want to mention, or is it time to just barrel on forward and see how the upcoming school year goes?
Jeremy, it's great to be back and look forward to visiting with you in September.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, KawasakiMaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at MazingoLake.com.